Yeah, I appreciate it. I saw that you had called, and then, although I was thinking...
Did you listen to his message, what he said?
He didn't leave a message, actually. But I was hopeful that when I got the message, I thought, well, I hope Esther looked at my calendar and sees it. Because I actually, my problem was I scheduled two things this morning that would have been in direct conflict with this meeting, including an interview with an Indiana newspaper about coal gasification projects. And so they were here looking at doing a project in southwestern Indiana, and they're up here doing some research on our coal gasification facility. So it was kind of fun, but at any rate... Yeah, so this is an Indiana Courier Press that sent a photographer and a reporter up, and they're meeting with public officials and their basin officials, and they were out at the plant yesterday in the coal mine. And so they're trying to prepare their community for a possible gasification facility. So anyway, so I scheduled that for, as you noticed, at 10:30 this morning, thinking, well, that's no problem. We have our meeting tomorrow. But anyway, here we are now. So we'll start the meeting. It is about 11 a.m., on February 24th, 2010. And this is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I'm Kevin Kramer, along with Commissioner Brian Kalk, and Commissioner Tony Clark joins us on the phone. Any opening comments from my colleagues?
Good morning, welcome.
I would only offer a sports update. We've got the U.S. Olympic hockey team going for gold. Two North Dakota girls are on the team. And I'm proud to announce that Botineau High School has made the state hockey tournament for the first time since 1992. So that's all I have. Glad to be here today. And I'll be in Grand Forks Friday for the game, and hopefully Saturday night for the championship game where Botineau will defeat whoever.
They're going for the gold. Well, very good. If there's nothing else, is there a motion to
so move for consent?
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
There's a rather short agenda today. Item KC1. I move the commission adopt the order granting motion to dismiss in Dakota Resource Council et al. Versus GTLE Dakota Plant 1 complaint case number RC0932.
Second.
I will do my best to sort of walk through some of the highlights of this case without getting into the weeds too deeply, because my colleagues may want to say a few things, and I'm sure there'll be some questions. But to set it up, it was January 22nd of last year that the Dakota Resource Council, along with some of its members, filed a complaint alleging that the GTLE Dakota Plant 1 LLC was in violation of a Century Code for conducting surface coal mining operations without a permit through its alleged connection with the proposed South Hart Lignite Mine owned and operated by South Hart Coal, Great Northern Project Development. The alleged connection is sort of a key part of this order. The complainants alleged that the beneficiation facility being constructed southwest of South Hart is a coal preparation plant as defined in the reclamation rules and therefore must be permitted by the Public Service Commission as, quote, surface coal mining operations, unquote, under the law. The complainants also alleged that by GTLE's construction and operation of the coal preparation plant, North Dakota's land, air, water, rural communities, and agricultural economies would be adversely impacted. Now, as I said up front, this complaint was filed on January 22nd of 2009. It was February 11th of last year that we found that the complaint did state a prima facie case, and we served the complaint on GTLE on the same date. Obviously, that was a year ago, a little better than a year ago, so this case has been around a while, and one might wonder, how is it that after a year you dismiss the case? And I can only say that it is, one thing I've learned at the Public Service Commission is that denial of due process will get you in a lot more trouble than erring on the side of due process. So there are a number of amended complaints, supplements, answers, back and forth, which I will not go through. You're all welcome to read it for yourself. We've made, I think, copies for everybody in the room that would like a copy. If not, we can certainly make more of the entire order, including the analysis, which should help people make some sense of it all. But the first issue that was to be addressed by the commission is whether the amended complaint should be dismissed. under the rules of procedure. And if the pleadings disclose with certainty the impossibility of proving a claim upon which relief can be granted, which is what this comes down to, dismissing the complaint for failure to state a claim is permissible if an administrative agency cannot discern a potential for proof to support the claim. I stated earlier that really what's at issue here is whether the facility is in connection with and how in connection with those three words are defined in code, whether it's in connection with a coal mine. Again, the analysis lists a number of cases, the rules from both the Office of Surface Mining as well as state law, some precedent. But in the end of the day, the dismissal is based basically that we find that the statutory phrase in connection with a surface coal mine is central to the determination whether to grant GTLE's motion to dismiss. There is currently no mine in the vicinity of the coal beneficiation facility, nor is there an application pending for any such coal mine. No. There was at one point an application. That application was withdrawn shortly after the initial complaint was issued, and thus, you know, the process of hearing everything out and getting as much information as we can on the record. GTLE's facility will have a useful life independent of any one coal mine, and it will operate primarily for the benefit of end users. The facility is not operated in connection with the surface coal mine, and no permit is required. Even if there would be a mine in the vicinity of the plant, we conclude that the GTLE facility will have a useful life independent of that mine, and the facility will be operated for the benefit of end users. Consequently, we affirm the decision of the reclamation director last year, who had determined in a jurisdictional determination that there was no permit required, and that the beneficiation plant is not operated in connection with a coal mine subject to our jurisdiction. So the order is simply that the motion of GTLE to dismiss the complaint for failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted is granted, and other pending motions are moot and are dismissed. I know that was a brief description of seems like a complicated issue, but hopefully we can clarify it in Q&A if there's a desire. Others...
Well, the only thing that I would add is that I'll give you an example. 2 weeks ago, I was up in Minot talking to the Wildlife Federation about wind towers, and there's a lot of things they brought up and a lot of ideas they had. And I told them, I said that, you know, our job in the Commission for Wind is to follow the law. If the law says something, we do our best to interpret it. And in this particular case, I would probably say it was the most challenging that I've dealt with in my 1 year in the Commission. It just because, as Kevin stated, this was a very much lengthy process that we needed to go through, very thorough, to understand all the different impacts, all the different legal determinations, and what the law said in our opinion. And I feel comfortable with our decision, but I'll tell you that this was a very complex, but I believe we reached the right outcome here.
Yeah, the bottom line is that there's not a coal plant, or there's not a coal mine affiliated with this plant, and, you know, everything else aside, given that fundamental fact, there's just no reason to permit.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, really the salient point in this case is that in order to grant a motion to dismiss, as we're being asked to do here, the pleadings would have to disclose that there's an impossibility for the commission to do what the complaining party is asking it to do. And if there's no coal mine there, it really does make it impossible. There's no really fact that you could put on the record that would change the fact that there's not a coal mine anywhere near the facility.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good. KC2. I have three motions in a row here which are simply authorizing procurement of construction. KC2, I move the commission authorize procurement of construction services for the 2010 Beekler-Velva abandoned mine lands project using competitive sealed bidding procedures.
Second.
One of the major AML projects for this year is, of course, the Beekler-Velva project, which is a new one for us. The staff have nearly completed the necessary documents to solicit bids for the project. Appropriate information will also be posted on the state procurement's website, and they'll email notices to all in-state and out-of-state contractors on the state bidders list for this type of work. So an on-site pre-bid meeting is planned for April 7th, and the bid opening is set for April 19th. Everything seems to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
KC3. I move the commission authorize procurement of construction and testing services for the 2010 Beulah Zapp Phase 11 abandoned mine lands project using competitive sealed bidding procedures.
Second.
An on-site pre-bid meeting is planned for April 9th in this one, and the bid opening is set for April 19th as well.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
In KC4, I move the commission authorize procurement of construction and testing services for the 2010 Williams County Road 9 Phase 5 abandoned mine lands project using competitive sealed bidding procedures.
Second. I'd just like to add one point on all these bids. It'll be interesting to see how many folks from outside of the region are applying for these. We noticed, was it last year, that the trend really opened up to have people coming from all over the country to apply for this work?
Well, as we've learned, the economy in our surrounding states is not as good as the economy in North Dakota, and consequently, dirt movers and other construction companies are looking beyond their own borders for work, and North Dakota is a place where they can still find some. That's not so great necessarily all the time for our own companies, because of course the other companies may provide some lower bids, but it's good for those hiring. So at any rate, Brian's exactly right. This project is similar to the others. That there will be a on-site pre-bid meeting April 9th, and then the bid opening is set for April 19th.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have just one item in my portfolio. TC1, I move the commission adopt the order granting waiver application and issuing corridor certificate number 112 and route permit number 122 to Otter Tail Power Company for its proposed 0.53-mile, 230 kV electric transmission line reroute near Fiala Lake in Sargent County, North Dakota, case number PU09674.
Second.
This particular case is one that we had put out for notice for opportunity for a hearing. We did not receive any comment or request for a hearing in regard to it. It's a fairly short reroute of just a half a mile in Sargent County. Basically, it relates to a very important 230 kV transmission line, which the commission is become well aware of over the years, because in a couple of instances, such as an ice storm a few years ago, the Thanksgiving ice storm, it was one that we learned a lot about the importance of the line regarding the reliability of the entire regional grid. It's a transmission line that integrates baseload generation, both from the Big Stone plant in eastern South Dakota and the Hoot Lake plant in western Minnesota, and wind generation in southeast North Dakota with retail loads throughout the entire region of North Dakota, South Dakota, and western Minnesota. Otter Tail reports that Fiala Lake, at one point, the transmission line was such that they were the structures were adjacent to the lake. The lake has grown significantly since then, and now we find that the transmission line structures are actually in the water. Otter Tail has concerns that with spring ice flows, if they don't have that rerouted, the transmission pole structures could be sheared off, and then we'd have some reliability concerns for really the entire region. So it's an important line, and with this order, it will allow Otter Tail to go ahead and get that reroute done, hopefully before we have any spring ice problems.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That ends the items in my portfolio.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Kalk.
Good morning. I also have one item in my portfolio, item BK1. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company's application for its 2010 Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Adjustment Factor, case number PU1018.
Second.
Basically, in November of 2009, the commission approved a 0.369 cent factor per kilowatt for the Langdon and Ashtabula wind farms. That was also close related to our Otter Tail rate case. So we just did that last November. But on December 31st of 2009, Otter Tail filed a request for approval of its 2010 Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Adjustment Factor, or called the factor, I guess, from here on out. The proposed factor will include updated costs and revenue information for investments in Langdon, Ashtabula, and now the Laverne Wind Farm. The proposed factor is an additional 0.203 cents per kilowatt. The proposed increase would result in an increase of roughly $1.52 per month per customer using 750 kilowatts per hour. At this point, we have no petitions to intervene, but we'll be entertaining those until April 2nd of 2010. And comments for requests for hearing must be received by May 12th of 2010. And just a side note, the Langdon Wind Farm is 40.5, Ashtabula is 48.0 megawatts, and the Laverne Farm, which will be included here, is 49.5 megawatts.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That concludes the items in my portfolio.
Very good. Is there anything else anybody has for the good of commission? We do not have an informal today. It was canceled, or I don't know if there was ever an agenda for an informal, but
I don't think so.
I know it was. That was actually on my calendar for today, actually. Anyway, if not, are there
hey,
any
Kevin,
questions? Yes.
Before questions, I just note on the record that I authorized Charlene to sign orders for me.
Thank you. Very good.
What?
That Charlene can sign for him on orders that were passed today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Not any other any questions?
Renewable rider, is it? Sure. It's in effect presently, is it not?
It is not. We suspended that several meetings ago.
Okay. I thought there was one approved last year.
The one last year is approved. The 0.369% factor is in effect right now. But they came in and asked for an additional 0.203 cents. That one we suspended till the hearing is complete.
Okay, so the figure that's on the order here is added on to the 369.
Correct.
Okay.
Potentially added on.
And this, the $1.52 a month that's mentioned here is in addition to what the ratepayers are already paying.
Correct.
Okay. The complaint. I was looking at the complaint on the coal drying plant. I was looking at the filings, and this isn't meant to be a frivolous question, but could this logic be used? I mean, if you decided that the plant needed a coal mining permit, could you also order the Energy and Environmental Research Center in Grand Forks to get a coal mining permit?
Good question. It's not that frivolous, actually. It may be a fairly extreme illustration of the same thing, but it's a pretty good point. Realizing that the standard for the dismissal, of course, is that the pleadings would disclose with certainty the impossibility of proving a claim upon which relief can be granted. And, the absence of a coal mine, I think, does exactly that. So, had we not dismissed, I suppose one could say, how far can you go with something like this? And that's your point.
If there was a coal mine built near the plant presently, does that change anything?
I don't believe that it does in this case. I mean, we've said that proximity is not unimportant, but at the same time, it's not exclusive either. A mine at that general geographic area would not be exclusive, the exclusive user. That in fact, the plant operates to the benefit of the end user, not for the coal mine itself. And keep in mind, we've had similar findings in previous cases.
I mean, you mentioned that it operates for the benefit of the end user. What difference does that make?
Well, because then the controlling factor is not a coal mine. The controlling factor is the customer or the end user. And that's that control more so even than the proximity that, that weighs.
A coal mine... I guess that the relevance of it puzzles me because, the coal mines that feed the power plants, they operate for the benefit of the power plants rather than for their own benefit. So,
sure, but our jurisdiction over with the power plants would be similar. The fact that we have a different jurisdiction for an investor-owned utility power plant or a siting jurisdiction of a power plant is different than a coal beneficiation facility. Our jurisdiction has nothing to do with the fact that it's next to a coal mine with the power plants. It's a whole total separate authority that we have.
I mean, if you did decide that a coal mining permit was needed for this plant, what would you have to do then?
I personally don't like to speculate. I mean, with the level of detail it took us to get comfortable with this, I wouldn't even want to speculate on what it would take to do that, because there's a lot of steps in that.
Well, it would be a permitting process as part of, from what I could tell, it would be a permitting process as part of a coal facility. There's not a coal facility. There's not a coal mine there. So, you know, we'd be permitting it, and we aren't permitting it.
I guess what I was thinking of is that the plant's been built. It's actually operating.
Has, right.
So what?
It wouldn't be the first time that we've retroactively done something as a matter of we try not to do it on purpose, obviously, but we have in the past. I can think of one time where we actually retroactively sited a intrastate gas pipeline that was already in the ground, and we'd go through the same exact process, and if something was found that was incorrect, it would have to be corrected.
But that's where I don't want to even get into it, but now we're into it. That, you know, our previous decision that Jim talked about was something similar like that happened in the past where we didn't get involved. So precedent was on us to, if it was linked to it, to not do anything.
Dale, in my own mind, I don't know if, getting back to your original question, would it change our decision? At the end of the day, I don't know if it would have changed, necessarily the effect of our decision, but I think, at least in my own mind, the fact that there's not a coal plant there at all does lead you to this particular decision from a procedural standpoint, because there were a number of different proposed motions that were on the table as far as routes the commission could go with this, but lacking a plant at all, it leads you towards the dismissal based on what the law guides you towards.
Right, we could have gone through the whole process and still had a similar conclusion without dismissing it. But Tony's exactly right. The lack of a coal mine makes it easy to dismiss. I shouldn't say easy, but makes it relevant.
The power line order, is the power line being shifted to the north or the south of the lake? Do you know?
It's being shifted to the north of the lake.
Okay. Do you know how many feet or how many miles the line's being moved?
Off the center line? Well, it affects about a half a mile of the route. I don't have the map in front of me. Perhaps
Jerry's in the room. Jerry, do you know how far?
No, I can get the map for you, though, as soon as we're done here.
I mean, is it less than a mile?
Okay. Sure, it's a half-mile reroute, so it would have to be less than that if you're just running her up.
Yeah.
A quarter mile.
Yeah. It's several hundred feet, but I just can't remember.
That's okay, unless I forgot my geometry.
Nothing else? Come on, Rebecca, get tough on us. We've got a new reporter. Nothing tough. Okay.
I understand better than that.
Sure. All right. Well, welcome anyway. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're part of this group. Yeah, go ahead. Come on.
Can you really explain why you were late? I mean, did you have a really good, potential donor on the line, or what was the deal?
I'll tell you exactly what I did. Here's part of my transparency problem is that
you were sitting at the university.
I actually scheduled two meetings for this morning because I didn't have a commission meeting. It was on my Outlook calendar for tomorrow. And so I had at 9 a.m. I had a trusteeship meeting. I'm on the Board of Trustees at Mary, and I'm also on the trusteeship committee with Martin White and Dwayne Liffrig and Father Shea, where it's a nominating committee for trustees. And then at 10:30, I had a interview that I'd scheduled with the Indiana Courier Press to talk about coal gasification facility in Southwest Indiana. So I wouldn't have scheduled those had I. But no, I have done nothing political today, as far as you know. Except good government.
Are you going to Italy?
I'm not. No, I have nothing scheduled to go to Italy yet. No, they don't. I don't know why they don't let me. I tried to talk him into Germany, but yeah, right. No, I tried to talk him into opening a campus in Wittenberg, but it didn't fly.
Next slide.
Of course, they now call it Lutherstadt. Yeah, there's two Wittenbergs, I've learned. Anyway, if there's nothing else, we'll recess for a while, assign some orders, and we'll come back for admin meeting. Like, oh, you know what, Tony? Do you want to stay on for admin?
You can just call me back.
Oh, you know what? Let's just continue with admin, and then we can sign orders afterwards. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right.
There are no consent items on the admin agenda, so we'll go right to B1, which is GIS support requests for agency directors' responses to EOC. And is Professor Call here? He's not. Or is he on his way? Let's talk. Okay, let's pass on that because, oh, move to B1. Okay. Okay, yes. Item number B3 is the request to intervene in the BNSF crossing reviews, case numbers PU 1026 and 1027. Annette, thank you.
We have received two requests to intervene